stepping away. You can say, I'm quitting. But he goes and leads us step by step. And so as we continue to learn and grow, we continue to use these tools. They're going to help us to be able to know what the Bible is teaching and be able to help others. Really, our goal is to learn ourselves and then turn around and teach somebody else. Once we're made disciples by putting their faith and trust in Christ, then we want to make disciples, people that will put their faith and trust in Christ and help them to learn as well. So let's go ahead and pick up where we left off. It's murder. Excuse me. Rob looked pretty serious there. I don't know. Sorry. All right. Anyway, that's from a movie. Sorry. Long time ago. Anyway, it's one of those Bob Hope things or something, I think. But so far we've looked at several passages about killing, about murder. We're using Brother Cloud's illustration, and we're pretty much going through it as we look at that. And so as we've come through several passages of Genesis, we looked at Genesis 4, Genesis 9. We found out some things that those passages revealed to us. One of those things is murder was in the heart of man from the beginning, and we still have that same heart. Okay, I mean, that's by nature. God has always hated murder. Okay, he's never condoned it, never thought it was good to do. Murder's not something that he likes. Genesis 9:3-6, we found out that God says that murder must be punished. How is it to be punished? Oh, well, hold it. Not yet. Later on, we'll do that. No. How should murder be punished? And then I'm referencing Genesis 9. You remember what Genesis 9 was about? It's the establishment of the government. It's right after Noah's flood. And he said, who's supposed to commit this? Government. That's right. It's by the government. That's right. It's capital punishment. A lot of people don't like that anymore. They want to release everybody from prison, and that's not what the Bible teaches us. But anyway, it also told us that murder is evil because of what is in us, that wicked heart. And hunting is what? Good. Not to be refused. No. What do you say? Okay. Well, that's a good ethic practice. That's right. But the point we're making today is it's not murder to kill an animal. But you've got a good point. We don't just shoot animals and watch them die. We shoot them for a purpose. Henry, you have something to add? That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Good. See, we have some good Bible students in here. All right. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Do you remember that verse? It's, I think, three words. Four words. There you go. Thou shalt not kill. And that's pretty self-explanatory. God forbids killing in cold blood. Exodus chapter 22:2-3 is where we left off. We talked about, and this whole passage in Exodus chapter 22 was talking about thieves, people stealing stuff. And the passage, I'm not going to go to it because we already went through it, but I'll just mention again. The verse in chapter 2 talks about if someone breaks in at night. It doesn't say that. It says someone breaking into your house, and I'm paraphrasing, that if you smite them and they die, you're not guilty of the blood. And then the next verse right after this is if the sun be risen, it indicates there shall be blood. And then it talks about if you catch that person, there's restitution double. And if he can't pay it, then he's sold into slavery. Almost sounds like prison, doesn't it, in a sense? And that's what that verse says. That's where I have some difficulty. I don't know. It's all talking about thievery, though. So, in other words, in the daylight, you might be able to see this thief, get him. It doesn't talk about he's attacking you personally. He's stealing something, okay? So let me make that clear. It's about thieving, or a theft, thieving. Thievery, yeah. Okay, thank you. So again, so some lessons we can learn about that. In this particular case, it's not murder to kill a thief if he's breaking into your house. He says, I say, I'm not sure. It might be murder if he's breaking in the daytime and I know he's a thief and he's not threatening my life. And how can I know that? I might not. And if I can't know that, then maybe you go back to the old, you know, protection of your house. Let's see. Okay, so let's turn to Numbers 35. And we have a lot of things here. In verse 16, we're going to begin reading. Now, this begins talking about the cities of refuge. Anybody remember what a city of refuge is? That's right. It's a place that someone can flee under the law for protection from the avenger of blood. That's exactly right. How many of those cities were there to be set up? Do you remember? Who said six? Good. That's right. Did you know that or just read that? Okay. I don't know. I was going to give you a candy bar. No, I'm just kidding. What did you say? Right. That's correct. And that's the right statement. Although that might be determined in the city of refuge, whether they are murder or not. Okay, that's correct. Okay, so let's go ahead and read chapter 35, 16 through 31. Who would like to volunteer to read that? Got to be over the age of 15 today. I'm sorry. Greg, okay, thank you. Chapter 35, verse 16 through 31. Yeah. Okay, stop for just a second. So what has it said, these three instances here? What is it talking about, Henry? Okay, but what, okay, Julia? Yes, and there's also provision, if you smite him and he die with your fist. Pretty much it's saying that if you smite somebody premeditated on purpose, that is murder, okay? So Greg, go ahead and read the next verse. Okay, so what do you think the revenger of blood is? Who is that? What is that? Anybody have any ideas? Huh? Yeah, now, for the cloud, he also says friend, but I don't see it mentioned. If you look the word up, it says near kinsman. And it doesn't allow for friends, so I don't know. And again, I'm not saying that it's not necessary for him, but according to the scripture that I have read, and that avenger or revenger is the same Hebrew word that is near kin, okay? That can do that. That's a revenger of blood. You've all seen a Western or something like that, some of you, where someone shoots somebody or gets them, and buddy, they're going to go after that person. I mean, no matter what it costs. That's kind of what this is in a sense, okay? So, okay, Greg, go ahead. There it is. I'm sorry. Okay. That word thrust, what do you think that word means? Henry? Stab? That's a good guess. What? Anybody else have another guess or no? I'm sorry? That's right. It's a push. So if you push somebody and you meant to do it on purpose, that's what it's talking about. Premeditated again, okay? And so those are talking about the same thing as far as a premeditation that you're doing something. If you hate somebody and smite him with his hand and he died, then that's murder. And again, so, okay, go to verse, I think it's 22 now, Greg. Okay, stop there for just a second. So now it's talking about what? What would we call that today in our society? Manslaughter. Right. It's an accident. Well, same thing. I mean, so it's not anything that anybody's meaning to do. It's not on purpose. It's by accident. You're not laying in wait and premeditating anything. So this person here is in a different situation than the other. The other, it says clearly that the avenger or revenger of blood, whenever he meets him, can slay him, right? Everybody understand? Okay. So go ahead and go to the next part. But this particular, there's judgment. So let's go ahead. Okay. Okay, stop right there. So what is this telling us now? That's right. And it's kind of strange when you think about it, because it almost sounds like a prison in a sense. Even though you can still get out about, you're not under some kind of rule or anything, you still have some freedom there, and you even actually have freedom to leave there if you want to. If you leave there, you might want to get a ticket on a boat and go somewhere far away. Okay? It's kind of what I take from it. So this person, he did this by accident, and now he's going to go to the city of refuge, be judged on whether that was murder or manslaughter. If it was manslaughter, he's to go to the city of, or then he's going to the city of refuge, and he has to stay there. How long does he have to stay there? Until that high priest dies, 40, 50, 100 years, whatever that be. So if he leaves the city, though, what if he decides to leave the city, what happens, or what could happen? Bye. That's right. So that revenger still has the opportunity to kill him if he leaves and gets outside the bounds of that provision that God provided with the city of refuge. Okay, does everybody understand that? It's a lot different than we are today in the senses that we look at things. But anyway, nonetheless, that's what it's teaching us. Okay, Greg, go ahead and finish that out. Was it 28? Yeah. Okay, so we I should have went up here. We look up some words. Revenger blood, verse 19 is the word ga'al, and it means to redeem. And here, according in parentheses, according to the Oriental law of kinship, I to be the next of kin, and as such to buy back a relative's property, marry his widow, etc. So this is really telling us it's a kin, next of kin, that is the revenger or avenger. And there's some of the words it's translated in, purchase, ransom, redeemer, revenger, and let's go on. Let's see here next. Laying in wait in verse 20, we talked about this word means, lay, means letting, it's translated laying wait, And it just, I don't guess I have the meaning up there. It just says, oh, design. In other words, it's a plan. You design a plan. Meditated. Well, that's bad. In enmity, we talked about, I just mentioned it, as hostility, and it's translated as hatred or whatever. In city of refuge, this word, again, means a sense of taking in an asylum, a place, in this case, of safety for someone who commits manslaughter. Okay, and then I got Joshua 20:1 through 9 there. I'm not going to go over that today, but that's talking about the city of refuge, okay? Also in chapter 35, if you look at the first beginning of verse 1 all the way down to where we went, it talks about those cities of refuge. There's 48 cities that are given to the Levites, okay? And out of those 48, six of them are cities of refuge. And they're given, they're located, three on the west side and three on the east side of Jordan, okay? And but if you want more detail about that, Joshua 20:1 through 9, we can look at that. So once you learn the definitions, then so I got ahead of myself. Not all killing is murder. That's something we've learned today, right? If it's not laying in wait, not premeditated, that's not murder, okay? It's not murder to kill a person accidentally. We know that. So if it's by accident, so if you're, for the sake of better words, if you're horsing around and you're pushing each other and you push somebody down thrusting and they fall down and hit their head and die, that's not murder. Now, if you know you want to do something, you're on a cliff and you thrust him, throw him over the cliff on purpose, that's murder. The case is to be tried to determine the cause of death. That happens. The elders get together. They do this. And if he's not guilty, he's a man. He's not a murderer, but he's a he committed manslaughter. They're going to send him to their city of refuge. In Israel, the refuge, revenger of blood had the authority to kill a murderer. So, which is a little bit different today. We don't have that authority, right? If someone, now, if someone was to, I'm not saying that we wouldn't want to and maybe even follow through with that. But if someone, for instance, killed me, and 3 days later my wife went and found him and killed them, she'd be guilty of murder. Okay? Now, if she saw them killing me, she could kill him. Or not. She might be running, because you may be laying down your life for your wife. So, I don't know. We'll have to look at that. Okay, so I put our friend in there. That's what he says. Again, I don't see that in the scripture necessarily, but, you know, that's one of those things that I'm continuing to study up. There's a place of safety for the one who killed accidentally. That's city of refuge. Murder is to be punished by taking the murderer's life. And we saw in verse 30, there needs to be two witnesses. One witness is not enough. If there's three of us there, and I say he killed him, apparently that's not enough. There needs to be two that saw it to be able to convict somebody of murder, according to our passage. No other punishment was allowed in those things. In other words, when you committed a murder, you were to be put to death. There was nothing else. It wasn't a long jail sentence. It wasn't, you know, any of those things. 20 years later, you can get out or whatever. Today, you can do about anything you want, and there's a great opportunity you might get out and come back into society. Murder is a very serious crime, and it pollutes the land, it said here, as Greg read in the last couple verses. So these are some lessons we are learning from this particular passage. So let's go see where we're at now. Matthew 15, 18 through 20. Who will volunteer to read that? Okay, Tina. Yes. Before she reads, let me ask one question if you can remember. Where do we get these verses that we're looking up? That book? Okay. That's one. And that's true. That's exactly what he did, isn't it? He used what his study was, and that's what he used from. But what if we didn't have that book? I'm sorry? What'd you say? Oh, okay. How much did he pay you to say that? I'm going to write him and talk to him. What other means would we have? Yeah, sword searcher. The Bible program, and when I say sword searcher, all the things it has in it. Commentaries, the treasure scripture knowledge, the Hebrew and Greek, Strong's Concordance, all of those will help us to find these verses that he found. Also, Knave's topical study, Thompson chain reference. There's a whole bunch of different things out there. And so what I'm saying is that what he's done is that's what he used to get what he's got, which is a big benefit for us, big benefit for us when we're studying to go to this, because he's done a lot of the study already. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, Tina, sorry. Okay, so again, Jesus is being approached by the Pharisees, and he goes through this and discusses these things. So as Brother Cloud says, and one of the first things we want to do is when we look at a passage that we're reading, we want to find if there's words that we don't understand. If there's anything there that we don't understand, what's the companion, that companion Bible booklet? Does it say 619 words that are, anybody remember? It's on the cover of it. It says like 600 some words that are hard for us to understand because they're not the same definition, like conversation and different words like that. That little booklet helps as well. And it's on your sword searcher, so you do have that. But it's something that can help you as well. But really the best place to find out if you don't know a word is not the dictionary, which it's a help, but is to go look at the Greek and Hebrew, because that'll give you a clear definition often of what that word means. Because in the Hebrew, it may mean different than what it does in the English. Okay? That helps. Now, a Bible dictionary should have that in there and to help us. So here we see that murder is a problem of a sinful heart. So when we're committing a murder, we're committing a sin, it's something wrong with us. Our heart is not right with God. What did Jesus say about murder in, I think it's Matthew chapter 5. I can't remember off the top of my head, but do you remember what he said? Julia? If you're angry with your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. Okay? So that's how Jesus shared that. And so you can see a greater emphasis. It's not just the act. That's why this is telling us and teaching us. Now, someone said to me one time, says, well, if you thought it in your heart, then you might as well do it. No. Don't even think that way. Why? Because there are different consequences. Hey, look, if I'm angry and there's sin in my heart, I can confess that to God. I can get right with a brother. If I kill somebody, that's right. Thank you. And there's nothing I can do about it. They're not the same thing, even though Jesus explains them. In other words, sin is sin. And every sin has a different consequence. Okay? Understand that. Consequences are for sin. You can be forgiven for any sin, but there could be consequences for those sins. Some are small, some are great. And so, again, I want to emphasize that. So it's not a problem caused by the environment or poverty. Why? Why is it not a problem caused by poverty or environment? There, yeah, it's from the heart. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's not our circumstances or any of that. It's our heart. And you say, well, I was raised in this kind of family or whatever. Yes, that's true, but it's still your heart. Right? I mean, I wasn't raised in a wealthy family. I had a mom and sister. My dad was somewhere else. We grew up and we didn't have a lot. That didn't make me a murderer. Okay? And so I'm just saying there's a lot of people who think they're justified because of the way they're brought up to do something. You're not. It's all about the heart. Okay. Let's see. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. We're learning about killing and murder. And I'm not trying to teach you how to do it or where to do it or any of that stuff, okay? We're teaching that we shouldn't do it at all, really. But there are all three circumstances. Romans chapter 13. First four verses. Who's got their hand up? Rob. Okay, so again, this is talking about the civil authorities, those that are in charge, their power from God, it says. And this is another difficulty I have in my thinking is, first off, what if that power is not a godly power? We're still under that authority, right? That's right. And so just because we live in America, in a great country, there are people who live in a lot of places all over the world in a lot worse conditions than we do. So how do they live? But so he's given these powers. He's ordaining them to be ministers to do good. This covers, I personally believe, covers our policemen, okay? Those in different situations, border patrol, and military. It would cover those guys. Now, for us as Christians, what we have to decide is the cause just? If we're not inducted or, what's the word? I can't even think anymore. Somebody, oh, Matt, sorry. Drafted. If you're drafted, you're drafted. But if you join something, and this is me talking, so you can take this any way you want. You can come up and say something other. But if we join something that we know is not following God and it's not just, we need to think about that. We need to think about that. You know, more, and I hate to say this, more important to me than America is the Lord Jesus Christ, or should be, right? My allegiance should be first and foremost to Christ. Then everything else falls under that. And I'm not saying anybody needs to do anything or think differently. It's just something I want you to think about as you study the Bible, what it is to be a Christian and how we're to live. So we didn't see any words that were anything we had to really look at. And maybe there's some words that maybe you don't understand. I always, if I'm coming through this passage, I might look up some of these words here just for me to see what they mean so I get a better understanding of the passage. But these people that are in authority, they're ministers of God to do for good. There are authorities that don't do good, that actually kill people. And so again, that's another thing to think about and where that leads to. Okay, so let's see what it says here. In this present dispensation, God has given authority to civil governments to put evildoers to death. And again, that goes with capital punishment. And I believe the military, policemen all fall into that stuff. So here's the next step as we're studying this topic, killing and murder. Step four, organize and summarize the lesson. So all the things that we've already come through, we're going to summarize. So let's just go down through here. Step one, determine what words were associated with the topic. So what's that mean? Help me out. He gave us an illustration of one that had a lot of stuff to look up. You remember that? The study of Satan. Remember when we started? He had like 9 items that you would want to look up words associated with it. Beelzebub, God of this world. I can't think myself, but there's like 9 of them. So what he's saying here is determine words that are associated with this topic you're dealing with, because it may not just be one word. When I looked up murder, I didn't find in his particular case, I didn't find the word murder. I found the word kill, and that's what word he used. So I'm just saying kill, murder, killing, put to death might be something you might look up, that phrase. So you want to try to, if you're doing an exhaustive study and trying to learn about a subject, you want to go through as many words that you can find and then put those into your study. So that's what he's saying to start out with. Step two is define all the terms that are used for the topic. What's that mean? Go ahead. That's right. If they're words you don't understand, look them up and find out what they mean. And I'm telling you, I find a lot of times there's words I think I know what they mean, and I got to go look them up. For instance, thrust. When I read that, you know what I thought? What did I think? I think I thought what Henry said. Remember what you said? Stab or thrust through. That's what I would think. Is that the natural thought? But it doesn't mean that. It means push. Now, maybe you can push a knife in somebody. I don't know. That might be part of it. But I think more often it's like pushing in a sense. But anyway, write down the main lessons from each verse, which is each time you look at the verse, you pull out what you can find out about that. Murder is in the heart of men from the very beginning. That's what we learned in Genesis chapter 4. So you write those things down. So what you're building is you're getting points of assertion in a sense, is what you're learning. So you can take these points and you can develop a message with it as you're studying, or thoughts that help you to understand the passage better. And then the Bible lesson about murder and killing. Murder is a horrible crime, and the Bible says that the man who takes a life is to forfeit his own. Okay, Genesis 9:6 talks about that. Killing and murder are not always the same. There's manslaughter and then there's murder. There are at least three occasions in the Bible when killing is not murder. So here we're coming up with our conclusions. Accidental death is not murder to kill someone accidentally, right? And according to the Old Testament, it shows us how to treat that. And we don't do it exactly that way anymore. We would go to court and we would be judged by 12 peers, and they would tell us if you're guilty or not or whatever, right? Self-defense is not murder to defend oneself or one's loved ones and property. This comes from Exodus 22, 2 and 3. I haven't found a scripture other than that one that helps me to understand that a little bit. But anyway, capital punishment is not murder to put criminals to death for heinous crimes. And again, Romans 13, 1 through 4 teaches us that the government's responsible to do that. The avenger of death in Old Testament times was a relative. And again, I friend, but who put the murderer to death? Today in the government, it's the government that puts the murderer to death. And we have no responsibility in that. Murder defiles the land and requires capital punishment. And murder is a problem of the heart. Of the heart. The law of Moses called for capital punishment in the case of murder, idolatry. I'm giving this as extra. I don't know if this is in your book. It might be. Witchcraft. And these are verses. And if you want these, I can give these to you. But this is the law of Moses called for capital punishment for all these things so far. Adultery. They were to stone that person. Okay. This is the Old Testament. Homosexuality. They were to stone that person. Bestiality. They were to kill that person or stone. Rape. They were to kill them. Incest. That was to be treated as death as well. And blasphemy. Ooh. Well, I'd be dead a long time ago for a lot more than things I should, or whatever, some of these things here. So, again, this is what the Old Testament says. We're not under the Old Testament law anymore, right? Amen? Thank you. Okay. So, what's our conclusions at this study? The topical method of study is very important and can be continually valued in one's Christian life. So you pick a topic, hell or salvation or death, for instance. Let me ask you a question. What about being buried versus cremation? That would be a good study if you haven't studied it. Because a lot of people, they just cremate people today. Cremation in the Bible was for the heathen, not for the Christian. What'd you say? That's right. It's a pagan practice. Okay, so topical study is the best method to find the mind of God on any subject. You find the mind of God right here in the Bible, and if you take a topic and you search it out, you'll find what he thinks about that subject. And again, Old Testament and New Testament, you got to discern, because they're different in the sense that we're not under those prescribed laws. We're actually unto a greater law. And so when you study that, you'll find that. The Bible contains the very mind of Christ. I think I mentioned that. What a wonderful, amazing, valuable thing the Bible is. Anybody say amen? Okay. Even though we cannot presently see God or talk to Him face to face, we have His thoughts and words to know. That's it. What? What was that supposed to be? I'm sure as to what He thinks about things. But how to cut that off. To know, yeah, I cut it off my notes too, so sorry about that. It's to know what He thinks about any subject, really, and that's what it's talking about. Anybody have any questions about a topical study? Maybe a suggestion of doing some topical studies or whatever? Maybe somebody has done a topic study and really helped them out and shown them something they want to share. Anybody thoughts? Anybody see the value of doing a topical study? Yeah. Okay. There's no assignment with this one. There was with the other one. So whoever's in the class, if you still got another week or so to do that, and if you don't know what it is, I'll have to go look it up in the book because I don't remember. What page? Thank you, Rob. It's an exercise for us. It's a home study project. Use this fourfold method to study a passage of your choice. Write out the results of each point. If you're studying with this course or class, hand in your teacher. And that was talking about studying individual passages of Scripture. And the way to do it is right here in the book again. So pick out something, a passage, do a study, turn it in, and I'll put a big old grade on it. It'll be a nice one, I promise you. The effort is important as well as some of the things that you learned. All right, is there anything else? All right, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Kirk, would you stand? Let's everybody else stand too, and he can close us out. Amen. Amen. Trust me.